Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Technology Report and This is America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on what police in California did recently to what was believed to be the largest encampment of homeless people in the United States.
They just don't want to be noticed. They're doing their thing out here and, they're just trying to survive.
Then we will take you to Los Angeles. It doesn't look a lot like Christmas in L.A. in late December, if looking like Christmas means there is a lot of snow on the ground. But that doesn't stop people in L.A. from trying to make the city look and sound like Christmas.
Here it's more unique because everyone's so, like, kind-hearted and welcoming, and as you can see, they go all out with decorations and everything like that.
Homeless in America, even as the economy improves. And making L.A. look and feel like Christmas, even if it isn't cold and snowy. Those are our stories today on As It Is from VOA. Earlier this month, California police cleared what was said to be the largest homeless encampment in the United States. About 200 people were living at the camp in San Jose, California. Officials said police officers and city workers acted because the area was unclean. The homeless people were living near Silicon Valley, the country's high technology center. Some people there have made millions, even billions of dollars from high-tech devices and services. But others have no money and no place to live. Federal officials believe there are hundreds of thousands of homeless people nationwide on any given day. Each one lacks a permanent place to live. Reasons for homelessness can include the high cost of housing, poverty, and unemployment. Other reasons are mental health problems and just plain bad luck. In Los Angeles, a group called PATH searches along flood channels and major roads for homeless camps. PATH is short for the name People Assisting the Homeless. Its workers look for people who have no permanent shelter. On a recent day, VOA was there when a PATH worker gave food and water to a 53-year-old homeless woman named Lucy. She lives next to concrete barriers built to contain floodwaters. She says the homeless like to live near friends and neighbors like everyone else.
A lot of us try to team up with two and two, and they help each other,
Jorge Guzman was one of the people hoping to help the homeless. He says they make their camps where they are not seen, behind buildings or in forests or parks.
They just don't want to be noticed. They're doing their thing out here, and, they're just trying to survive.
City workers periodically clear away small trees and plants, uncovering homeless campers. But one woman near the city of Whittier has lived between a river and a busy road for 6 years, Sarah Sindeldecker says she and her husband are sometimes forced to move, but they do not travel far.
When they kick you out, you either have to find another place or, you know. So we've gone to the Telegraph Bridge for 6 months in between that time and then moved back here when they cleaned us out. They have to clean out every once in a while.
Michael Crosby lives at a homeless campsite in the California community of Santa Clarita. He has been trying to protect himself from the rain.
Clean and tidy, except for lately when this storm came in, I spent most of the night covering up stuff and trying to salvage what we can and stay dry.
He says the nearby river threatens him and others.
If any more comes down at a higher rate, it's going to fork off and wash us away.
Michael Crosby is safe from the rain and the river for the next 3 months. He will sleep and eat at a shelter operated by a group called Bridge to Home. Tim Davis is the executive director of the charity. He says homeless people must make difficult choices.
Bad luck, or you have a mental disease, or you have drug or alcohol problems, those kind of things, right? And you do make $10 an hour, you can't find a place to live around here. So your choice is, you know, if you have a car, live in the car, or you live in the open.
Workers in Whittier try to move people out of homeless camps and into a home of their own. But housing is costly. Still, worker Tomas Babishkovich says he has been able to help some people.
It's really good to see the steps when people are living in their encampments and the transition into their transitional housing and after when they obtain their own housing.
But there are many other homeless people still living on the streets or in camps, moving when their campsites are taken down. The end of December is a time when many Americans are thinking about snow and cold weather. Yet the city of Los Angeles, California, is almost always warm and sunny, even during the winter holiday season. Many people like all the holiday decorations and lights seen in and around Los Angeles. Marquis Rosales lives in Los Angeles. He likes being in Southern California for the Christmas holiday.
Here it's more unique because everyone's so like kind-hearted and welcoming, and as you can see, they go all out with decorations and everything like that. It's really packed. It's a lot of families, though. It's a lot of families, and it's fun.
Many children have their picture taken with Santa Claus, the man known as Father Christmas. They tell him what gifts they want him to bring them. People travel to Los Angeles from around the world to enjoy the warm weather and the Christmas decorations.
It's totally fun. It's Christmas, you know, like live a little.
That's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. We want to hear what interests you. So tell us what you want to hear about. You may hear stories about your interests on a future show. Our email address is learningenglish@voanews.com. And please know that we read every message you send us. I'm Christopher Cruz, reporting from VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington. For all of the women and men of the Voice of America, all around the world, and for all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time with another edition of As It Is. I hope you'll join us then, here on the Voice of America.
The Technology Report is next, followed by This is America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Technology Report. Can you imagine riding around the streets of your hometown on a skateboard without wheels? In the late 1980s, film director Robert Zemeckis showed a skateboard floating above the ground in his movie Back to the Future Part 2. Now, an American company, ArxPax, has moved the idea for such a device from a futuristic dream to reality. The new product operates on the same rules that govern magnetism. When similarly charged ends of two magnets get close together, they repel or push away from each other. That force can make an object levitate or hover in space. Since the 1980s, levitation has been used on trains in Europe, Japan, and China. These maglev trains seem to float above the ground. There is no contact between the bottom of the cars and the surface of the train track. Maglev trains are almost noiseless and can move very fast. Greg Henderson says the same technology can make anything hover, even buildings.
Imagine that there's an earthquake and the early warning system turns on the hover systems and the supports fall away as the building starts to hover. The shaking stops, the supports return, and no one in that room or that building ever knew there was an earthquake.
Greg Henderson's company created the first maglev hoverboard called Hindo. It can hold a single person about 2.5 centimeters above a metal surface.
We are creating a magnetic field, and then through a method of induction that's part of our secret sauce, we're creating a secondary and equal magnetic field in this conductive surface.
Batteries provide the electricity needed to power Hindo's four engines. However, the batteries only last for a short time. But design engineer Kyle O'Neill says they last long enough for experienced skateboarders to learn how to control the hoverboard.
Some people say it's like snowboarding. Some people say, you know, this is like how I imagine a hoverboard is supposed to be, which is kind of an interesting response because it's no one's ever ridden one before.
The creators of Hindo say they do not expect to see their hoverboard on the streets anytime soon. The reason? It only works on a metal-covered surface. But they say larger hover engines could be used to transport containers in storerooms. For now, their dream is to build a recreation area where anyone can take a ride on a hoverboard. And that's the VOA Learning English Technology Report. For more technology stories, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Give us a like on the VOA Learning English Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter, at VOA Learn English. You can also watch videos on the VOA Learning English YouTube channel. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Welcome to This is America with VOA Learning English. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly. In the first half of the 19th century, Christmas was a very different kind of holiday than it is today. People did not have a set way of celebrating. Christmas was not even an official holiday yet. So, communities around the country honored the day in different ways. Some observed Christmas as an important Christian religious day, honoring the birth of Jesus. Others celebrated the day with parties, music, drinking, and eating. And some communities did not celebrate the day at all. But it was during the early 1800s that Americans began to reinvent the holiday. They started combining ancient Christmas traditions with modern American influences. Shirley Griffith, Steve Ember, and Jim Tedder tell the story.
In 1819, the popular American writer Washington Irving wrote a series of five essays published in a book called The Sketchbook of Jeffrey Crayon, Gent. The essays describe a wealthy British landowner who invites his farm workers into his home to celebrate Christmas. The landowner recreates a traditional Christmas as it would have been celebrated in the distant past. Irving praised this looking back to ancient traditions. He liked the idea of different levels of society coming together to enjoy a festive and peaceful holiday. Washington Irving seemed to express concern about the lack of such unifying Christmas traditions in modern America.
Penny Restad wrote a book, Christmas in America, A History. It shows how Americans began to slowly shape Christmas into a unifying national holiday during the first half of the 19th century. She describes how Christmas had different meanings for Americans who came from different cultural and religious backgrounds. Many immigrants brought Christmas traditions from their own countries.
Religion played a big role in how an American might celebrate the holiday. Calvinist Christians banned the celebration of Christmas. But groups such as Episcopalians and Moravians honored the day with religious services and seasonal decorations. By mid-century, Christian groups began to ignore their religious differences over the meaning of Christmas and honored the day in special ways.
Christmas became an important time for families to celebrate at home. More and more Christian Americans also began to follow the European traditions of Christmas trees and giving gifts. Christians believed that the tree represented Jesus and was also a sign of new beginnings. German immigrants brought their tradition of putting lights, sweets, and toys on the branches of evergreen trees placed in their homes.
This tradition of setting up a Christmas tree soon spread to many American homes. So did the practice of giving people presents. As these traditions increased in popularity, the modern trade and business linked to Christmas also grew.
As Christmas became more popular, some states declared the day a state holiday. Louisiana was the first state to make the move in 1837. By 1860, 14 other states had followed. It was not until 1870 that President Ulysses Grant made Christmas a federal holiday.
Americans already knew old Christmas songs that came from England and other areas of Europe. but many new American Christmas songs started to become popular. For example, in 1849, a religious leader from Massachusetts wrote the words to "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." The song "Jingle Bells" appeared 7 years later. And a year later, a religious leader in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, wrote the song "We Three Kings of Orient Are."
And of course, no discussion of Christmas would be complete without talking about one of the holiday's most famous representations, Santa Claus. This character is based on the story of Saint Nicholas, a Christian holy person believed to have lived in the 3rd century. Saint Nicholas became known as a protector of children. In his role as a Christmas hero, different cultures have given him different names. These include Sinterklaas, Kris Kringle, and Father Christmas. But for most Americans, his most popular name would become Santa Claus.
In the 19th century, many Dutch immigrants living in the United States celebrated the feast of Saint Nicholas on December 6th. St. Nicholas was especially important to New Yorkers because of their history as a Dutch colony. In 1809, Washington Irving published his History of New York. It lists St. Nicholas as the patron saint of New Yorkers. He describes the saint wearing a low hat, large pants, and smoking a pipe. Does this description sound familiar?
In 1822, an American professor named Clement Clark Moore wrote a poem that redefined the image of St. Nicholas. It was called "Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas." He did not expect it to be published. He wrote it as a Christmas present for his young children. In recent years, experts have questioned whether Moore actually wrote the poem. Some believe it was written by Henry Livingston, a mapmaker in New York, who wrote and published funny poems in his spare time.
But whoever wrote this classic poem, it has since become a favorite around the world. This poem combines the traditions of Santa Claus, seasonal decorations, and gift-giving that have come to define Christmas in America.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted, and he called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen,
to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose, like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know that I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings and then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Another one of the most widely known Christmas poems is not about Christmas at all. It is simply a poem about winter, put to music. The man who wrote the words was James Lord Pierpont. Mr. Pierpont was born in Medford, Massachusetts, in 1822. His family name is well known in the United States. His father was a Boston reformer who led campaigns to end slavery and bar the sale of alcohol. His nephew was the banker and financier J.P. Morgan, one of the country's most powerful businessmen. Mr. Pierpont was said to be inspired to write his poem by the yearly one-horse open sleigh races in his hometown. A marker in Medford, Massachusetts, says he wrote the words in a local tavern, most likely, in part, because it had a piano.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Jingle Bells was first published in 1857. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly. Happy holidays from all of us at VOA Learning English.
One-horse open sleigh, dashing through the snow, jingle, jingle, in a one-horse open sleigh, jingle, 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 o'er the fields we go, fields, jingle, laughing jingle, all the way, bells on bobtail ring, jingle, 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 making spirits bright, jingle, 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 what fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey,
jingle bells, jingle bells,